Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Pie in the Sky Media. This series contains adult language and descriptions of graphic violence throughout. Listener discretion is advised.
My fault that it's true. Okay, we're live. 3, 2, 1. Welcome back, Criminal Mischief Nation, to another bonus episode of Criminal Mischief with Carolyn and Brandon. I'm the Brandon of Carolyn and Brandon, and with me, as always, the great Carolyn Osorio. Carolyn!
I am the Carolyn Osorio in this duo. Yes. And you know what? We got the boss over here who was born in the USA.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, you're going to make fun of the way I sing now. So I guess I won't sing Born in the USA. What's your favorite Bruce Springsteen? He went and saw Bruce Springsteen in Vegas. What's your favorite?
You can't ask me that. You can't ask me that.
I can and I will. And I want to know.
My daughters ask me that all the time because they know there's no answer.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Which of your children is your favorite, Carolyn? There you go. Yeah, so you can't answer.
Then I'll tell you. Can you guess what my favorite is?
What, your favorite Springsteen song?
Yeah. I actually have it right here. It came into my feed when I was on my jog and I thought of you because I knew you were, hold on a second. Do you want to guess?
No. All right, yeah, my wife loves Dancing in the Dark also. It's a great song. It's a great song.
Okay, so what is one of your top songs?
Well, because it depends. Look, and I'm not one of these guys that will go like, bootleg version from Asbury Park in 1981.
I'm going to stop it right now. If you're
my brother's that guy. Right? My brother's that guy. Okay. A really weird song that was never released that he got a bootleg of, whatever.
It's not a cassette tape that he uses a pencil.
Yeah, right, exactly. It's a recording of a record of whatever.
Right. Done. Yeah. Get to the song. Just pick one.
So there isn't one, right? There's like 5 or 6, depending on how I'm feeling, interchangeable, right?
Okay.
Like
right now,
Jungle Land, Backstreets, Incident, Racing in the Streets, of course, Thunder Road, but you get from Greetings from Asbury Park, you know. Lost in the Flood or For You or Spirit in the Night. You know, those are all, there's so many.
What is the song that like, you're like, yeah.
There's one song where I will go like, okay, there's a live version from the Hammersmith Odeon in London. Okay. Of Thunder Road. All right. And the only reason that I'm picking Thunder Road and that version of Thunder Road is because like so many songs that you hear, when you hear it, it triggers something in your brain that takes you to a specific place in your life. Okay.
Of course.
I think I may have told you the story. My high school girlfriend was a year older than me. Yeah, but that's not the live version. My high school girlfriend.
What, you dork?
My high school girlfriend was a year older than me. All right. So she left for college. I still had my senior year of high school. Mm-hmm. We figured that, you know, we'd make it work in long-term, long distance kind of thing, whatever. So couple months into the school year, I drive down to see her from Jersey, and she's going to school in Virginia. I drive down to see her, and and things were different. Things had changed a little bit. Okay, I don't even think I was 18 yet, you know. But I was like, oh, this is kind of weird. And we're in her dorm.
Did, So did things change from her perspective, or did things change from your perspective?
She was different. She was different. She was away from
you. Like she wasn't into you anymore?
She was older. She was older. She was away from home and family. She'd been living on her own. She had a bunch of new friends. You know, she was really committed to college, and you know, she didn't like do anything silly, like join a sorority or anything like that. She was like a very serious, you know, academic. And I remember it in her dorm room, and this live version of this song came on, and we were dancing. We were like slow dancing. It was all mushy, and I was old enough to just to kind of get it, that was probably the last time that I was going to see her.
Okay. Oh man, that's sad. So you were not. Yeah. That's fucking sad, Brandon.
But it was a growing experience. It was like a rite of passage. I understand.
You know what that reminds me of? Oh my gosh, that's so sad.
But wait, it gets a little bit worse. Hold on, it gets a little bit worse.
Okay, like
I get home. I get home, it's a couple weeks later, okay? And this is before cell phones. This is the early 90s, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm like, I'm still lying to myself that, you know, I got that nagging feeling in the back of my mind, but I'm not really ready for heartbreak yet, right? So I'm like, I'm still going through the motions, and I call her. And you got to call. There's like two phones like in the hall, mm-hmm. like on her floor. And some random girl answers it. I'm like, yeah, is Aaron? I'm trying to find Aaron. Oh, okay, I know her room. I'll go get her. And puts the phone, you know, down. And then I hear her at the end of the hall. Aaron, it's Brandon. And then I hear her say something like, "Ugh, that's my ex just calling to check up on me." And I wasn't the ex yet. Like, we hadn't even had to talk. And she didn't know that I heard her, you know. But that was...
Gosh,
that landed hard, but you know, that
pulled the band-aid off. Like that's one of those moments where you probably sat there and you're like, "Did this just happen?"
Yeah. So when I hear that version of Thunder Road, I kind of relive that, but at the same time, I relive all the great times with her. Also, you know, and that was just neither of us were equipped. We didn't know emotionally how to end something that was massively important to us, but that also had come to an end, you know? And so there was that awkwardness, and we're teenagers.
I'm totally like the boyfriend that I had before my husband. I mean, this guy, oh my gosh, this guy, I mean, I'm telling you, Jesus fucking Christ. And we went and saw, I can't believe he did this to me, honestly. Like, we went and saw The Bodyguard, right? And this is like the first love. Like, I love this guy. I love
1992. Yeah, great movie.
Right? And I'm like sitting there. And
right, sure.
I mean, like totally, I'm with my guy, and I'm totally just like, yeah. But in the back of my mind, like you, I'm kind of feeling like something, you know, something just there's something, you know. And we get home. He takes me home, and he's like, "I'm sorry, you know, I love you, but I'm not ready to, you know, make this kind of a commitment." I mean, he was like 22. I was like, what, like 20? 19. Yeah. Anyway, it was just like, it was awful because I had to hear that song over and over. You know, that song was played.
It became the most popular song in the world for a long time.
No, I know. I couldn't hear that song, and yet I couldn't escape it. It was everywhere. Yeah. And, but you know what? It ended up working out because, you know, I met my husband afterwards, but, you know, but, and it was right because, you know, he went to New York, he wanted to be an actor, he blah, 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 blah. And, you know, it ended up being the right thing, you know, so.
But music is.
It is. I can now listen to that song and I actually look back on it fondly. Like if it comes on the, I mean, who listens to the radio anymore, but like, if for whatever reason.
He didn't, And look at the bright side. He didn't push you off a cliff for insurance money.
Perfect transition. That's so fucking perfect. My God.
He just had the balls to break up with you.
Oh my God. Yeah. You know, what was sad is a little touche happened with that, because he then started kept calling after I was with my husband.
Oh.
And I had to, and my husband
was
like,
remorse. Yeah.
Oh no. Then I had to ask him not to call me anymore. And that was really, because, you know, my husband, I mean, he had a point, you know, I mean, you always, you know, anyway, yes, he didn't push me off a cliff.
Which brings us to this week's episode. What I was saying, and Carolyn yelled at me before we started recording, and I wasn't saying it in any kind of misogynistic kind of way. What I was saying was that in popular culture, normally when there's a marriage and I guess what we can say is popular media has often portrayed the perpetrator in situations like this to be the female, right?
The fact that you're choosing your words so carefully, Brandon.
Evil, conniving, black widow, you know, kind of story, you know,
yeah.
Is what we're, I was working on a show for a long time, a limited series podcast that fell apart called The Green Widow, which was great, which is about a woman.
Oh my gosh, The Green Widow. That title is like,
she burned through husbands and made all of this money. And it was a huge trial in LA. But anyway, it was interesting.
The Green Widow for the money.
For the money, exactly.
Yeah. Money. Okay.
Yeah. Let's talk about this
guy. This guy is definitely like diabolical.
Yeah. Right? Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's Randall. Randall's his name, right?
Yeah. Randy. Good old
Randy.
Randy.
So, Randy sounded like a real piece of shit when he was younger, and I don't know how he grew into this Lothario who could convince women to marry him after a month. Like, what's going on?
I think that's part of like the interesting part, is that I think people can hide themselves, you know, and he had a goal in mind. It's like, I need to act like they are the most special thing in the entire world, do everything for them, you know, anticipate their every need, just love on them, just blah, 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 just for a month. And then once I have them, then I'm going to get their life insurance and kill them. Right? I mean,
it's just so weird. I mean, I know with like, with the last woman, it Cindy?
Yeah, Cindy.
He goes after her because she was in a bad way, right? She was heartbroken. Her husband died young. She had two kids. You know, a father makes all the difference at this very kind of critical time, you know? And so here comes this guy, you know, and I guess sweeps her off her feet, but I don't know. I want to see video of this guy. I want to, you know, listen to him talk or like, see what his power is.
I think that he looked for vulnerable people. So he knew his mark, right? Yeah. And then he knew, I mean, you know how to talk to people, Brandon. You know, when you see someone, you can anticipate what they need, what their needs are, what you can, as you talk to them, you can see what they're looking for. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I don't have that kind of riz. This guy's riz was amazing.
I don't think it's a leap to think that just because he, you know, I totally believe that he could get away with this basically, because it was a short term thing. It was a short term, you know, he wasn't having to be a good guy for very long. I mean, a month in Cindy's case.
Right.
And, you know, he knows how to present himself as like, everything that she needs and wants, you know? And I think that people are capable of doing that, you know?
Sure. Yeah, no, I get it. But it's just, it seems to happen so quickly that, yes, we fall in love, that happens. Whirlwind marriages, okay, that happens. But then it's like, and get life insurance and make me the beneficiary, not your kids, and increase the sum to almost 400 grand. And cool. She's like, Fuck it. Yeah, let's do it. It's great because you're awesome. That wouldn't put up some red flags. It would. Like, I don't think I could get away with that.
No, I'm saying.
If I went to my wife now, right, and said, increase your life insurance policy, she'd fucking kick me out. And I know her again, for 25 years.
Again, he chose vulnerable women. And I do think that when you remember those days when you fall in love with someone and it's like young love or whatever, and it's like so urgent and so like you're so into them and you're so and they present a certain way. Like I totally believe in, yep, the whole thick of the whole thing. And if this person is, if this person sees your wants and needs because they were wearing it on their sleeve, like the woman that had two children, we don't know her, but we can pretty much anticipate what she probably wanted. She wanted a father figure. She wanted, she wanted to be loved. She wanted to have attention. Like, because then all that stuff in the, I hate Cindy for pink. I hate Cindy for blonde hair. Like all that.
Ugly toes. Her toes. I mean,
that's so specific, and that's so like.
Yeah, but do you think her toes were ugly though? Or do you think then?
I think that she was
I'm kidding. Jesus Christ! I'm kidding.
I know you are, but I don't even want to go there because it's sad.
Who would say that to a person?
This like, asshole.
I wouldn't say that to someone that I really dislike. I wouldn't write that in a, I wouldn't waste my, you know what I mean? Like I wouldn't, I don't know. It's just, I'm not.
What do you mean? You wouldn't put up with someone and you wouldn't write in your journal? She hates my big toe.
No, what I'm saying is that I wouldn't like, she's aware of that because he must've told her that.
Yes. All of
right.
These
so what things. I'm saying is like, what kind of person would point out all of those things about someone?
Completely horrible, evil person.
Yeah. And she sticks around?
It's like that cult leader personality. Like they're hooked you, you know, that's the secret sauce to that, where it's like, you know, you come to them looking for all the answers and then they have to break you down and basically say, you're terrible, but then I'm going to go ahead and show you how to be your best self. But in this case, he didn't want this to be a long-term thing. He wanted to get their life insurance.
Right.
So, you know, he was really good at seeing what these women needed and being everything that they wanted. And, you know, that one lady obviously was like, when she was going in the rapids with him and she sees him heading towards it, right?
Hey, Criminal Mischief Nation. You know what I think when I see a Factor delivery truck in my neighborhood? I'm like, yes, I'm doing something good for myself and my family. And let's face it, I'm thinking you're a pretty smart mom because don't tell anyone, but I'm getting time back. It's a win-win because even though I love to cook, I love to bake, I'm going to be honest, I don't want to do it every day. But I also want to make sure that I'm not skimping when it comes to my family. And when you choose to order meals from Factor, I know that every delicious bite is chef crafted, dietitian approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. And oh man, do they have choices, which I'm going to tell you is a must because I have a big household with personalities as unique as their palates. And Factor offers over 35 different options to choose from every single week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, Keto, and many, many more. And Factor isn't just about what's for dinner. They also offer a wide variety of options for the entire day, breakfast, midday bites, and more. And like I said, because Factor meals are ready to heat and eat, there's no prepping, cooking, or cleanup required. It really is a perfect solution if you're looking for fast, premium options without dirtying a dish or going grocery shopping. And because you're a Criminal Mischief listener, even more reason to try it out or start again because we're going to save you some money. So please head to factormeals.com/mischief50. That's MISCHIEF 50 and use code MISCHIEF50 to get 50% off. That's code MISCHIEF50 at factormeals.com/MISCHIEF50 to get 50% off.
Wait, back up one wife prior. Oh, you're deathly afraid of heights? Let's go on a huge hike with sheer cliffs.
I know, but there had to have been like the sex and just the romance. It had to have been so powerful that they both did it. That's why I played it up so much, because it's like they had to have believed he could have, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, the more outrageous, the less, you know, you're the less people are going to think that you're plotting something, because that's way too obvious, right? But that's
what I'm just saying.
The genius of the guy.
Get them to go.
Yeah.
When they know that he, you know, he hates them and he's mean to them, and yet he can just smile and just give that look. And see, then suddenly.
That's the other thing. Like, what I'm like, my actual phobias, okay? Mm-hmm. You couldn't get me to do it for anything. I'm serious. It would have to be like one of my children, life is on the line. And then obviously, right, I'll walk through my fears and my phobias. But if it's like, if my wife's like, it's going to be romantic and we'll go off the path, and I'll be like, sorry, baby, I'm scared shitless of that. Like, you know, it's just not going to do it.
Okay, well, just imagine. Okay. See, we have the luxury and the good fortune to be in solidly committed, wonderful relationships that, you know, we've been in for a long time. Okay.
But imagine, but still here I am. Yes.
Okay. But imagine you're freewheeling Brandon and you meet this like, woohoo. Okay. And she is like, you presents as everything that you would want in a woman, everything she's done, every single thing. And she wants you to get up this, she wants you to go into an elevator with her. No, better yet.
Listen, I don't know if it's going to happen.
She wants you to go in the Mile High Club.
I'll say we'll take the stairs together.
No.
How romantic is that? We'll take the stairs together. I'll carry you up the fucking stairs, baby. That's how much I love you.
Okay, but wait a second. You've got to put yourself in that place of being like a 26-year-old. And this young woman is so into you and just wants you to come here. Let's come up that. I think you would do it. I totally think you would do it.
I really don't. Listen, I mean,
just
I wouldn't,
think about it for a second.
I wouldn't try mayonnaise for a girl that I was in love with when I was 23 years old. Okay. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm just a different type of guy. But I'm always like, yeah, I'll meet somebody else. Okay. See ya. She didn't love me for me. Okay.
Are you, what girl asked you to try mayonnaise for her?
I had a girlfriend who was always trying. She would introduce me. She would tell her friends that I'm a fixer upper. Okay, because
but
granted, in her defense, I was coming out of a very dark period of my life, and I was kind of rough around the edges. Okay, great. So she
I
would
can't
like
believe you didn't walk out the door when
I
she
needed
said
some help.
That.
Listen, I needed to know how to dress. I was still wearing just jeans and a flannel shirt that I'd had for the last 10 years. Okay. I was a little rough around the edges. She took it way too far, and she was trying to like expand my palate. So I would eat different stuff. And I went, I'm happy with, you know, with grilled cheese sandwiches and with pizza and, you know, with whatever, white bread. And you know.
This is beautiful because that was your boundary. Like, hey, I know I've got problems and I'll go with this for a little bit. You can say that I'm a fixer-upper, but like at the end of the day, this isn't love if you want to change every single thing about me.
Right. And I didn't want to eat mayonnaise.
And Cindy, well, now, you know, that was just a symptom of something that was really fucked up. I mean, if somebody introduced me, like my new boyfriend introduced me as a fixer-upper, I mean,
yeah, listen, I granted,
I was like, hey, I got to go back and get something. I'll be right back.
My self-esteem was really low. She was really hot. Okay. And so I'm
right. That's what gets me back to you with the really hot stuff. I think you would be enticed up the mountain. I really do. I think
if I drew the line at mayonnaise, you think I'm going to get in an elevator? No. No.
You know,
no.
I think that that's the difference then. Then they would, and they did.
Sure. Yeah, so obviously.
Cindy got into the raft, and, you know, Janice went up that mountain. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
And I just think that's terrifying when you give someone that kind of power over you, where they can look and they can, and you know, they have that Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, where one second they're just the complete fucking asshole. I hate your toes. I hate you. I hate everything. You are terrible. And then the next second, like, you know, baby, I love you, baby. You're just everything to me. Come on. Like that's terrifying.
So he goes hiking with Janice and he throws her off the cliff, right?
Mm-hmm. Allegedly.
Allegedly. Okay. He meets a woman named with the greatest name for comedy in this story. Her name's Dana Cliff. Okay. Right. And then after Cynthia, he married a woman named Deborah Drowning. I'm kidding. But so he meets Dana Cliff. Okay. Mm-hmm. And he pulls the same shit with her.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Or he tries, but she's a cancer survivor. So she can't get insured, no life insurance. So he fucking moves on.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love it how these women come back and like get their revenge.
Yeah.
At the trial. Like, listen to my story.
It's incredible. And so then poor Cynthia,
mm-hmm.
okay, she had a husband who died young of cancer, but left her with money. So she was cool. Mm-hmm. She was cool. There was that void in her life. She wanted the traditional, like, kind of nuclear family, you know, wanted a father for her kids. So she finds this piece of shit, and then there they go. And so, but she knew that something was rotten in Denmark because she writes a will, okay? And leaves one in a Dropbox and then files one with the registrar's office, which was really smart.
Yes.
Really fucking smart.
But
the one crazy thing, well, there's a lot of crazy things, but with the daughter, with the money under the drawer, right? That was scary. And he finds her and I thought he was going to do something bad to her. He says, I'm going to buy you presents with this money. Okay. Yeah. Great.
Yeah. He just wanted the money.
Of course. That's all that this guy was motivated by. He was just motivated by controlling women and getting their money and being wealthy. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So he takes her out, get in this small boat and come with me far out onto the lake.
Right? Again,
I was waiting for you to say she was scared. She didn't know how to swim. That's what I thought you were going to say next, you know?
And just the romance and how he turns it on them. Like he's the one that was enticing them. And then he turned it on them when they're, you know, they have no defense and they're dead. And basically like, no, she was the one that wanted to bow, chicka, bow, bow. You know, like it's just, this guy is disgusting. He's despicable beyond belief, you know? And then these scams with the Social Security, like I didn't even know that was a thing. Like you could take other people's kids and then take their, I mean, it's just like this, just.
Yeah. It, I mean, he's the most dangerous kind of grifter that he's willing to murder people.
Right. Not just for the life insurance, but also for their children and their Social Security benefits for 10 years and treat them like, I mean, it's not only just taking their life, but can you imagine someone taking your life and then putting your kids in this horrible servitude with this killer that, you know, I mean, it's really twisted.
So he drowned Cynthia. We're not sure how he did it.
I think that they're pretty sure. Like he just held her underwater.
No. I mean, like, how did he get her in the water? Did he say, let's go swimming. Let's do whatever, you know, and then just kind of didn't let her come up. He stayed in the boat, you know, and held her under.
That's what I think. Yeah.
And then, but then he had to get her body back into the boat. That's not easy to do. I mean, I've been there. I'm kidding. What I'm saying. No, but like, have you ever tried to get into a flimsy raft?
Yes, and it's not pretty.
Fucking hard to do. It's really hard to do.
It's no joke. Yeah.
Now imagine being in the raft and just lifting literal dead weight out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
And no one from shore saw him doing all this?
No. This is a huge lake.
Yeah, I hear you. And then he just rows in really slow.
Really slow.
That's diabolical.
Yeah, because you are so committed to this.
He probably had it timed. You know, he probably had it figured out how long after someone dies by drowning can they be resuscitated. And he probably had a clock on it. 6 minutes. Whatever.
And not only that, but like then he's got the nads to sit on shore for 2 to 3 more minutes just sitting there.
And go get help, but take your time. Don't run.
And then just to think that these things aren't going to follow him. Like they're not going to find out about Janice. Oh, another wife of yours dies accidentally? Like, I mean,
so what? Devil's advocate here, right? Mm-hmm. Take any one of these episodes in a vacuum, right? Mm-hmm. Has someone actually accidentally drowned in a situation mm-hmm. like that? I'm sure. Absolutely, that's happened. Has someone accidentally fallen off a cliff?
Yeah. But two.
Oh no, I'm just saying, like in a vacuum, like my wife and I go hiking all the time. Okay, mm-hmm. And I'm assuming she has a life insurance policy, and me or the kids are beneficiaries, whatever. So we go hiking tomorrow, and she gets startled by a whatever coyote and trips and falls off of a sheer cliff and she dies. Okay. They'd look at me, I'm sure, as a suspect, okay? But then people would go, no, they had a great marriage, where everything's cool. And I would probably get the money and no one would look at me again, okay? So that shit happens in the real world accidentally all the time, right? So I'm sure that's what was in his mind. Perfect crime. I could totally get away with it. Prove that she didn't do, prove it didn't happen the way that I say, you know? And that worked for him the first time because they couldn't prove it. They couldn't prove it. It's just with the totality of everything, they're like, let's get it in front of a jury. And thankfully, they figured this guy out. Mm-hmm. But man, that's really diabolical. You have an evil person who thinks that way. They could get away with some shit. Now it makes me think how many people have gotten away with it. You know, how many of those accidental kind of things were actually insurance payouts, you know?
I mean, I think it's a lot. I think that it's. But then, you know, you listen to Dateline or whatever, and it's like, oh my gosh, people get railroaded and you know, if you, because sometimes you know, all those things could happen where you don't have a perfect marriage and you go hiking and your spouse could fall off and they fall off and it has nothing to do with you. But because of like, hey, you just got in a fight beforehand and maybe you were like, I'm, you know, started cheating on that. I mean, it's really kind of scary how things can go sideways and you didn't do anything, you know?
Yeah.
Especially if you have like a detective that's like, oh man, he's good for it or she's good for it.
It's always the husband. It's always the husband. Yeah.
Exactly. And you didn't do anything. Like you could be, you're a cheater, but doesn't mean that you murdered someone. And I think that there's a lot of people that that's happened to where it's like, you know, you just didn't have an alibi, things just didn't go your way, and that is terrifying too, you know.
Wow. All right, well, evil people out there, but this was again, I love your storytelling style. Not a lot of interviews in this. I don't think any interviews, just clips. Mm-hmm. Clips from courtroom mm-hmm. and clips from from confessions and stuff. So that was very well told, well written.
Thank you. I went into the King County Prosecutor's Office and researched this case, and I actually saw the letter and that Cindy wrote, and it was so sad. You know what I mean? It was just so like to, you know, you imagine yourself sitting with your journal in your hand and you're writing that this person that you're married to hates you for all of these reasons.
And everything about you.
Everything about you.
Everything that makes you. How you like pink feminine things in the house. Hate it.
Yeah. You have a period. Hate you. Hate it. I mean, it's hate like.
It. Hate your dinosaur toes. Hate them. I made up that last part.
That look on your face with your Yankees hat like perched on top. Man, that was like the perfect sourpuss. Like,
Hate your tore up feet. Yeah. Wow. All right. Well, listen, well done. The guy's in jail for a long time. Where he belongs. So,
yes,
there was something else that I was going to bring up and I just forgot about it. Well, if I remember, I will call you. But in the meantime, again, thank you for this episode. It was a lot of fun. If you enjoyed it, share it with your friends. Maybe go over to Apple Podcasts and give us a rate and a review. It helps out more than you know. And please consider supporting the great companies that support the show. Without them, we couldn't do what we do. Carolyn, anything that you would like to add? Any you want to tease something coming up next week?
Actually, I'm doing something I have in the hopper is the Yorkshire Ripper in England in the 1970s. Yeah.
Wow. I did a podcast series that was set in Yorkshire. It's called The Demons of Yorkshire, season 2 of The Devil Within.
Oh.
Yorkshire is a very interesting place. Yeah, especially in the 70s. It's also called the Dinosaur Coast. There's a huge concentration of dinosaur fossils.
That movie with Kate Winslet? I freaking loved it. Where she was the dinosaur.
Titanic.
No. No, she was what the heck? No, she was awesome. She was a badass,
paleontologist
hunter. What are those things that are like the swirly things? And she found them on the beach and it was like,
Okay, cool. I'll check it out.
Kate Winslet.
Great. All right. Well, until next time, everybody, that'll do it for another bonus episode of Criminal Mischief with Carolyn and Brandon. Stay safe out there. Thanks for listening.
From Cloud 10, Criminal Mischief is a Pie in the Sky production recorded in the beautiful Pacific Northwest. We're produced by Brandon Morgan and myself, music by Soundstripe. I'm Carolyn Osorio, your writer and host.
Hello, the world. We are They Will Kill, a true crime podcast. I'm Courtney Eck.
And I'm Sadie Eck. And we are sisters that want to tell you about lesser known murders.
Our cases are always compelling, maybe even a little scary, with just enough banter to keep it interesting.
You can find us at theywillkill.com
or anywhere you listen to podcasts. See you there.
See ya.